Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And if you would, turn in your Bible to the book of Habakkuk. It's one of those small little prophets in the Old Testament, the minor prophet, Habakkuk. And so today we're going to begin a series on the prophet Habakkuk. It's going to be a very short series, but the book of Habakkuk is a critical book. It is so important. One of the most important Old Testament prophets in the Old Testament. Back in chapter 2, in verse 4, if you would take a look at that, chapter 2, verse 4, the prophet tells us the way of salvation. The way of salvation. Notice he says in verse 4, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Now, the entire book of Romans is a thesis on this verse. So if you would, hold your finger here and look at Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul begins with Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, and he develops that all the way through the book of Romans. In verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." Notice, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And Paul develops this. He shows that the Jew is in sin, the Gentile's in sin. We all need to be declared righteous before God, but we cannot do that in and of ourselves. And so God has this plan, this scheme to redeem lost humanity, involve the death of his son, Jesus. In chapter 3, in verse 21, we'll just look at verse 21 and 22. Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference." And so the way to get right with God is through faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Our salvation involves grace and faith. Grace was God giving Jesus. Faith is our response to what God has given us in Jesus Christ. Now, some people misunderstand faith as though it's just something that lives in your head and it doesn't affect anything else. And the Bible makes it clear. James says faith without works is dead. Now, he's not talking about the works of the law or works that we might do. He's rather talking about the works of faith. You see, faith works. If you believe, you will see that faith demonstrated in your life. And in Romans, he uses Abraham as the example of faith. And then he points out in chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So faith, if you believe in Jesus, that will automatically lead you to repent. Repentance is an act of faith. And if you truly believe, you will be immersed. Baptism is an act of faith. In fact, let me just quickly just show you this in Colossians, and then we'll get on with my lesson here. This is still part of it, but Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians 2, some people miss this. Beginning at verse 11, Paul says, "For in him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands." So we know this is spiritual, not physical. by the putting away of the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith. There it is. Through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And notice verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses. And so a person who believes in Jesus will do what Jesus says. And Jesus says we need to repent. And Jesus says we need to be baptized. This is simply faith being lived out. That's what that is. Chapter 3 of the book of Habakkuk contains, I believe, one of the greatest statements of faith you will ever find anywhere. Look in chapter 3 for just a moment. We'll just verses 17 and 18, 17 and 19. He says, listen to this. Think about a modern day illustration of this. All right, make this modern. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high hills. And so he's saying, though the whole world goes to pot, I'm still trusting in God. That's what he's saying. One of the greatest statements of faith you'll ever find. Now, Habakkuk is different from all of the other prophetic books in that all of the other prophetic books, the prophet has a word to say to the people. But in Habakkuk doesn't have a word to say to the people. His problem is with God. That's his problem. And we need to flesh this out. You see, look with me in chapter 1. And look at verses 2, 3, and 4. Verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you not hear? Even cry to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. And justice never goes forth. For the wicked surrounded the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. See, here's his problem. Habakkuk knows that God is a righteous God. He knows he's a holy God. He knows he's a just God. And yet Israel is in sin, and God hasn't done anything about it as far as he can tell. And that's his problem. God, why haven't you punished this people? You're just allowing these people to sin and get away with it. That's contrary to who you are. It's contrary to your nature. So that's his problem. Now, when life gets hard, like Habakkuk's experiencing, we need a faith that will sustain us. We need a faith that will sustain us. An easy faith, a soft faith won't cut it. It won't cut it. You need a tough faith. And today our lesson is titled, A Tough Faith. You see, we need a faith that hangs on to God no matter what. Do you have that kind of faith? That hangs on to God no matter what. Death of a child, a mate walks out, you know, you lose your job, your child no longer respects you. I mean, you can go on and on and on with a list of things where life is hard. And what do you do in that moment? Do you have a faith that will sustain you, that will enable you to hang on? Well, I hope you do. And this lesson is designed to do just that, to encourage you to develop a tough faith. So here's a point I want you to write down. This is really important. A tough faith lives between how things are and who God is. All right, think about that. A tough faith lives between how things are, your circumstances, and who God is. That's powerful when you think about it. And that's what's going on in this book. You see, he has a faith and he knows who God is. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. And he can't make sense of what's happening in Judah. Habakkuk just couldn't make sense of what was going on in his own nation. He couldn't reconcile evil and a holy God. Now, God's not evil. There's evil in his people. And as far as Habakkuk's concerned, God's done nothing about it. And a righteous God must do something about it. He can't stand neutral. That's why on Judgment Day, you need to be right with God. You need to be right with God because he'll have no choice but to punish you eternally if you reject his son. He has no choice. He has to because he's righteous. He can't excuse sin. He can't tolerate sin. He can't let it slide. His nature will not permit this to happen. You see, he's thinking to himself, God, you should have already punished this people. What are you waiting for? I don't understand. So that's his issue. That's his problem. Here's the thing. Life can be really hard at times. Our faith in Christ can really be challenged. There are things that kind of want to knock you off your perch of faith. A mate walks out, that can be tough. That can be tough. That's hard for a person to work through. It's real hard. And what about the death of a child? That's extremely hard. I know I was talking to a guy up in Iowa. I was wanting to have a Bible study with him. His brother was an elder at our congregation. And we had dinner with him, and I wanted a Bible study with him. But his issue was he had a child that died. And and when I brought up God, he said, oh, no, we're done with that. We don't do God. Completely done. Because his child, and I can understand his hurt, and I can understand his pain, and God's big enough to help us work through, right? No matter where we are in our faith. God's big enough to help us. But he just wouldn't even engage a conversation. He was done. Life can be really, 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 really hard. I was talking to some of the inmates at the prison, you know, and, you know, some of them guys have been up there a long, long time. You know, Ronnie, 51 years. You know, Glenn's been up there over 30 years. And Roy been up there over 30 years. Talk about life hard. That's hard. Gray walls, darkness, not lit up very well. And it's just horrible, you know. And one guy that attends our services, he has 4 life sentences. He ain't going home. He's not going home. That's hard. That's hard. Life can be really, really hard. Harold Kushner, he was a Jewish rabbi. He wrote a book titled, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. He had a son whose name was Aaron. Aaron had a disease called progeria. If I'm pronouncing that right, progeria, it is also known as rapid aging disease. And so by age 14, which is how old his son was when he died, he was an old man. He was like in his 90s at age 14. And to watch his son go through it was hard. And he's trying to reconcile a good God and this terrible disease that's afflicting his child. It's tough. That was his struggle. Faith can really be challenged at times. Well, Habakkuk knew that God is holy and that God cannot do evil. And by the way, God says, Habakkuk, I'm in the process of working on things. I'm controlling the world. You don't have to worry about it. I got this. And so he says in verse 5, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed, here it is, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, it's the Babylonians, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth and possesses the dwelling places that are not theirs. So God says, look, Habakkuk, I'm going to bring Babylon in, then they're going to conquer the southern kingdom and drag them into captivity. Aren't you happy about that? No. This didn't help him at all. It rather increased his perplexity. You're going to use the Babylonians? They're way more wicked than we are. How can you take a nation that's way more wicked than we are and punish a nation that's less wicked? That doesn't make sense. I mean, punish them and then punish us, but don't use them to punish us. You see, his faith is really, really, really being challenged. He can't make sense of this. He's just thinking they're way worse than we are. And you're going to use them to punish us? Doesn't make sense. Well, let me just, some people's faith works like this. God, your job is to give me the life that I want, no matter what. That's the way many people think about God. Your job is to make me happy. Your job is to give me the life I want. That's why I came to believe in you. That's not faith in God. God doesn't give us the life we want. He gives us a better life than we want. You see, we need a strong faith. Because there's value in suffering, right? You can read all over the Bible. James 1 talks about how suffering helps us grow as Christians. That's how we develop our faith. It doesn't develop when you're just living, you know, life easy. No struggles, no hardships, no difficulties. You don't grow in those moments. You see, suffering, according to James 1, Romans chapter 5, 1 Peter, the whole book, teaches us that suffering actually teaches us how to trust God more. It does. Because when you're suffering, who do you go to? You have to go to Him. He's the only one that can help you, right? I mean, God is the only one that can help you when life is really, really difficult. And so it pushes us to Him. Now, in some cases, people are pushed away from Him, but that's their choice. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Suffering builds character, we're told in James and Romans. It develops patience. Suffering is the only way that God can grow our faith. We cannot grow and be the person that God wants us to be without hardships, without difficulties, without suffering. That's just part of the game, and we have to be willing to accept that. Now, let me give you three truths about tough faith. All right? Three truths. Number one, tough faith can be burdened. Tough faith can be burdened. Some people think that if I have faith, nothing can affect me. Listen, you can't block out the fact that we live in a fallen world. You can't do that. You see, we live in a world that's full of evil. And at some point, that evil is going to affect us because we live in a fallen world. You're not going to, it's like dodging raindrops. Try doing that. You're not going to be able to dodge the evil that's in our world. It's going to affect you. People are going to do things to you or do things against a loved one, a family member. Some cases we have, you know, family members that are murdered, you know. And it's a terrible thing, and you have to deal with that. Life is hard. Life is hard. We live in a fallen world, and our faith can be rocked. Verse 1 says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. This was a burden to him. This was hard. And so faith can be burdened. It can be difficult. Sometimes some of the things that we struggle with or have to work through are very, very hard. Hard. And those of you who have gone through tough times know what I'm talking about. You know, you see your health go from, you know, real good health, and then it goes south on you, right? And it just stinks. I mean, I was so healthy before I turned 40. And then at 40, it just took a nosedive, you know? Got lots of issues, and it's hard. It's no fun. And some of you have much greater health issues you have to work through, deal with. Some of you have had a situation where a mate said, I don't want to be married no more. That's hard. When you put everything into a marriage for years and years and years, and they just give up, it's over, it's done. Think about all the problems that that causes with children and grandchildren and visitation and all of that mess complicates life. Faith can be burdened. Yeah, we can cry. And we, like Habakkuk, can go to God and say, God, why? Why? And that's what he's saying. Why? All the way through here. Why? God's big enough to accept that. God doesn't get mad when we come to him and say, God, why? Because I think we've all asked why when life gets hard. The struggle is real. In tough faith, it's required. Soft faith, easy faith, it's not going to work. Not going to work for you. Got to develop that faith. And that faith, as you see, is something that, you know, grows over. You know, Abraham, Genesis 15, 6. God said, Abraham, look up at the stars and see if you can count them. So shall your descendants be. And he looked up and he believed God. And at that moment, God said, you're righteous. Now, we know that that wasn't just a faith that lived in his head. How do we know that? Because James tells us in James chapter 2 that Abraham was justified when he offered Isaac on the altar. Well, Genesis 15, 6 said he was justified when he believed God. Which is true. They're both true. His faith over here was not just something that lived in his head, that it was a real faith. And like James said, faith without works is dead. His faith wasn't without works. When it came time, God said, offer your son. He said, okay. And he started to do that until God stopped him. Which shows his faith was lived out every single day of his life. So faith is not something you do in a church building one day when you obey the gospel and never think about faith thereafter. Some do that with repentance, and repentance is not a one-time act. Often we need to repent. Number two, faith, tough faith, runs to God instead of away from God. Now, I know we've all probably ran away from God at some point. Maybe life got hard. We were going through a tough time, and we were mad. You ever been mad at God? Yeah, I think we all have it at some point. Just disappointed that he didn't answer the prayer the way that I had hoped. I really wanted my loved one to hang on, but they didn't. Yeah, there have been moments. But tough faith, the faith we're talking about that we need, is a faith that runs to God when life gets hard. That's what you're supposed to do. It's what you need to do. It's what Habakkuk did. He ran straight to God with his problem. He wasn't sitting around Judah saying, look what God is doing. He's not being the just God he's supposed to be. That wasn't what he was doing. He went straight to God and said, what's up? How come you've not punished this people? You're righteous. He didn't like the answer. that God gave him, and you may not like the answer that God gives you, because you're praying, I want my loved one to hang on, and they don't. All right? Tough faith is required. Sometimes life can just be really, really hard. So what do you do when you're between the rock and a hard place? Not a rock. The rock. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You've appointed them for judgment, O rock. You have marked them for correction. God is our rock. And when you read the Psalms, you'll come across that quite a bit. He is the rock. That's what he is. He is our rock. So what do you do when you're between the rock and a hard place? Because that's where we really are. So here's an important question for you. What do you know about God that you can put your full weight on? Habakkuk knew God was holy. He knew that, and that's why he had a problem. Look at verse 13. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil. You cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours the person more righteous than he? Why? Why? See, he knew God was holy. That's why he had this problem. If he didn't understand God's holiness and righteousness, this wouldn't have been an issue. But because he knows God's character, this is a problem. What do you know about God that you can put your full weight on? When life gets hard for you, when you're really struggling, when you lose your job or your mate walks out on you, or your loved one dies, or a tornado takes everything you worked your whole life for and takes it away from you, what are you going to do? What is it that you know about God that's going to sustain you? That you'll be able to put your full weight on when that happens and your faith will survive. What is it you know about God? I mean, think about it. He's loving. He's just. He's good. He's faithful. He's all powerful. He's all knowing, right? I mean, he is a God of grace and a God of mercy. All these attributes of God, we need to get, he's unchangeable, right? He's unchangeable, Malachi tells us. I am the Lord and I do not change who God is, what God is. He'll always be that and never stray from that. And I'm confident of that, and I can put my full weight on that. And when life is really hard, there are two things that I put my weight on. There are many attributes of God you can put your weight on, but there are two that I put my weight on. Number one is his love. When life is hard, I know, right? I know that God loves me. I don't understand why this is happening and why I'm going through this, but I know he loves me. I don't doubt that at all. I can put my full weight on. I know he loves me. Now that's important, because if he loves me, he's always going to do what's in my best interest. He's always going to do what's best for me. Not everything I want, but what's best for me. He'll always do that. And so when life is hard, I can just stand on that. But there's another thing, his wisdom. His wisdom. Why is that important? Because I trust that what I'm going through, God knows best. It don't make sense to me. This didn't make sense to Habakkuk. He didn't understand why this was happening. He didn't understand why God hadn't already punished these people. It didn't make sense to him. Trusting his wisdom, I know that no matter what, he's doing what's best. And so when I trust his love and his wisdom, man, I can put my full weight on those things. And there's other things you can put your weight on, but those are just two things I put my weight on. What do you put your weight on? What do you do when your faith is rocked? Hard times come. Weren't expecting them. You need a faith that will stand. An easy faith, soft faith, it's not going to cut it. Won't sustain you. Number three and last, and this will be real brief. Tough faith views everything through the lens of God's character. So I view everything that's happening through the lens of His character. When you do it that way, you have a different perspective on what's happening in your life and the struggles and what you're going through and the outcome of all of that. And so it truly, truly helps you to view everything through the lens of God's character, who God is. So on Wednesday nights, we're right now looking at the attributes of God. We began in Psalm 19, and we saw how the heavens declare the glory of God. We know there's a God because the creation exists. And if the creation exists, there has to be a God who created it, because it didn't make itself. So if it didn't make itself, then God made it. And we know that God made it. And the creation tells us some things about God, but not a lot. It tells us that, you know, He's a powerful being. It tells us that He's benevolent because He's given us all the things that we need. So there are some things that we can learn from the creation. But what does God want? What does God want from me? What does God? I can't discern that from the creation. I need His Word. And so now we're looking at the Word and what the Word says about God, His character, His attributes, because that explains who God is and what God is. You would benefit coming to the class. And by the way, let me just close with this. You know, Christianity is unique in many ways. It's the only religion whose God became human. No other religion teaches that their God became a man. No other religion teaches that their God died on the cross and purchased their redemption. But there's another unique thing Christianity's known. There's some others. But Christianity is the only religion where its God suffered. Think about that. Our God suffered. Christ suffered. That's what crucifixion was all about. He suffered. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, I'll just read this to you. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Christ suffered. So God is not asking you to do anything that He Himself hasn't already done. Suffering, He has done, and He asks us to simply follow in His steps. So He's done this. He's not saying, you do something that I'm not willing to do. No, He went to the cross. He purchased the way to God. Do you believe that? Have you responded to that? Have you obeyed the gospel? The Bible's clear. We have to believe in Jesus. We have to repent of our sins, and we have to be immersed. We have to be baptized. And having done this, God wipes away our sins. He adds us to His family, the body of Christ, the church. If you've never done that and your desire is to do that, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, this is to encourage you to come so that you can obey the gospel. If you have another need, prayer, we ask that you bring it at this time.